League One Volleyball is back. The world's best players together on American soil. This is volleyball like you've never seen before. Huge swings, massive walks, jaw-dropping digs. A sport where every play is a highlight. League One Volleyball returns January 7, 2026, with teams in Atlanta, Austin, Houston, Madison, Nebraska, and Salt Lake. To buy tickets, visit lovb.com/iHeart.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hello, everyone. Well, happy holiday weekend to you. It's time for me to talk about the life of a showgirl. It's time for me to get into it. And everyone that I see being honest about this album deals with the wrath of the Swifties. The Swifties. I don't even know where to begin when it comes to the loyal Swifties, because several Swifties have jumped ship because of the life of a showgirl. And the ones who have not jumped ship are liars. Anyone who says that this album is good is a liar. And what I've noticed is that people say, I like it when it comes to the album. The terrified Swifties, the lying ass Swifties, they like to say, I like the album. They're not saying it's good. The word choice is never, this album is really good. This album is great. This is her best album. This is one of her best. This is so good. It's always, I like it. I really like it. I love it. I like it. They can't even lie and say it's good. They literally are just saying that they like it. It's so funny. And then how come her previous work, they say it's good. It's really good. It's great. It's amazing. It's incredible. But this one, the descriptor is always, I like it. So when it comes to this album, the backlash, like people have lost it. Swifties are just done with her. They're disgusted with her. Again, the honest Swifties, the objective Swifties, the ones who don't have blind loyalty have all spoken out and said that this album is garbage. It's complete trash. But then there's the ones who are afraid to say it, right? The liars. So when it comes to this album, we first found out about its existence when Taylor Swift did her very first podcast appearance on the New Heights podcast. And what happened during that appearance? Travis Kelce sat there lying, saying that this album is bangers. It's bangers, y'all. It's bangers. Does he know what the word means? Because what the fuck? So now we find out that Travis Kelce is a fucking liar or a deaf liar. Like, what is happening here? Like, why did he say that this album has bangers? So she's on his podcast, hyping up the album. Her man is hyping up the album. We trust that Travis Kelce would not be calling these tracks bangers if they were actually, they come across more as lullabies than bangers. So we're all excited. Then Taylor, who is famous for avoiding interviews, she seems like she can't shut up this time. So what does she do? She has a whole UK tour, media tour going. She appears on UK talk shows and radio shows. She appears on late night shows here. During her New Heights podcast, she kept referring to the number 47 to put all of her fans in a frenzy that she would be performing at the 47th Super Bowl. And that didn't pan out. But she clearly thought she was going to perform, because that's the only reason why she kept on saying 47 seconds, 47 this, 47 that, 47, 47, 47 throughout her appearance. She thought she had the Super Bowl in the bag. She's not doing the Super Bowl. right? So we got the New Heights podcast. We have the media tour abroad and in the States. We got Travis claiming that the album has bangers. Then we have her theater release of the Life of a Showgirl movie, the Eras Tour theater release. I went, I saw it in theaters. I had a great time. Not the Eras Tour, the other tour that she did, because I hadn't gone to her to a single concert of hers. And I really enjoyed her movie because the vibes were good. The fans were there singing and dancing. It was a vibe. I was singing and dancing too in my seat. Like, it was a vibe. I was very happy with it. But then apparently she had a lot of lyric videos in this supposed movie of hers. It was a waste of time and money, apparently. Right? So we are disappointed, or sorry, Swifties were disappointed with the album. Then they're disappointed with this dumbass movie, quote unquote movie, that she puts in theaters. Then the bitch won't stop putting out all these vinyl releases, vinyl after vinyl after vinyl. I think it was, she has like 23 or 24 variants. By the way, like, with that pose with her like leaning over, she looks horrific. Not the main pose on the cover, but I think it's the back cover. Anyways, that one photo, you know what I'm talking about, where she's like leaning over. Her torso looks 4 feet long. Her ass is super flat. We don't need to be seeing it. She has all this like new sexual confidence now that she's with Travis Kelce and she's like wearing revealing clothes and stuff. It's like, fine, wear it, rock it, flaunt it. But girl, don't bend over and show us your flat ass. We don't need to see that. All right. So then next we have the new news that came out today is that she's going to be on Good Morning America announcing something. And so we already know what the announcement is. The announcement is that movie that people paid money to see will be available on a streamer, just like her last movie, and or she will also be announcing a tour. This is a workaholic ass bitch. Like, is she really trying to get married one day? What the fuck? So anyway, now let's get back to the album, because that's the rollout. This is part of why I believe Swifties are pissed off. Taylor, don't be doing interviews. Taylor has turned into Beyonce as far as doing the surprise drop releases. Look how many recent albums Taylor has done surprise drops for. No promo, no announcement that she's working on anything, no debut singles, just straight up drops of albums. She became Beyonce with that shit. So many records, right? It's like off the top of my head, she did that with Midnights. She did that with Evermore. She did that with Folklore. Like, she did that with, like, I feel like 5 albums total, 3 at minimum surprise drops. And then with Midnights and Tortured Poets, she did additional drops with more songs on them. She had a Midnights 2 a.m., like a 2 a.m. edition, and then a separate Tortured Poets. Like, she's done like 3 to 5 at minimum surprise album drops. But this, she let everybody know this is the album she's been wanting to make for a long time. She has Max Martin, the people she's working with, the people who put out some of her good work in the past. Travis is claiming that it's bangers. People are so excited that they pay to watch some dumbass quote unquote movie of hers in the theater in celebration of this album. Then on the album. Okay, so as far as the album is concerned, it's unlistenable to me. I think it is that bad. I'm not a Swiftie, but I enjoy some. First of all, I respect her work ethic. Her Eras Tour is like 3.5 hours of singing and dancing. I respect her work ethic. I respect her grind. I respect her dedication to her craft. I also respect her lyricism in some of her songs. She's a poet. She's very gifted and talented. Undeniable lyricist. Vocalist, that's debatable. Vocal ability, she ain't got it. Lyric and music ability, or writing and music ability, she has it in spades. Right? So it's like, how can you go from putting out good quality to terrible quality when you're like 17 years into your career? How does that work? How does that work? And then on top of it, you're hyping it up as though it's like your best work when it's actually your worst. What happened here? Is this what being dickmatized does? I'm lost. Because I saw this one TikTok where this girl said she no longer believes that Taylor Swift has written any of her music based on the quality of this album. She's like, there's no way. And she's not the only one. Multiple people have said, there's no way anyone who has written Taylor Swift's other music would also put this out today. Like, that's how much of a decline in the quality. These lyrics are cheesy. They're corny. They're basic. They're immature. They're weird. They're awkward. They're cringe. And Taylor was always wicked with the pen. What the fuck is happening? It's so, so confusing. So yes, back to the album. It is such a bore and it is such a snooze fest for me. I actually played Opalite, the best song on the album. I played Opalite and Elizabeth Taylor before I recorded this. You know, I'm saying like right before I recorded this. And I'm like, this album is so intolerable. It's so insufferable. It's so bad. I can't listen to it. Like, I listen to those, like, basically the songs that are the best are mediocre at best. That's the problem. Like, the songs that, like, the best songs are the worst songs in her catalog. It's wild. So anyways, then we got her fans being upset about Wood. And fans have decoded, like, oh, it's track number 9 and you take this, you add up all the seconds in the song and it comes up to 9, blah, blah, blah. They're saying that Travis Kelce has a 9-inch dick. Here's the thing. Some Taylor Swift fans are very upset that she wrote a song about Travis Kelce's big dick. First and foremost, just because Taylor Swift is doing a phenomenal job of clinging to her youth because she has good genes, she is pushing 40 years old. In 2 months, she will be 36 years old. Okay? I think that a woman who is pushing 40 is entitled to write a song about dick. I don't care how young she looks. I don't care. Like, she knows the bangs make her look younger. She knows how she wears her hair makes her look younger. And the attire she wears, she goes for like a cutesy schoolgirl look often. She knows what the fuck she's doing because she has so many young fans. But it don't matter how old her fans are. The bitch is pushing 40.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Glad that she's embracing her maturity and embracing her sex life and where she is in her life right now. Because it's not like Maddie Healy, who looks like he weighs 90 pounds. It's not like Joe Alwyn, who seems super uptight. It's not like any of them knew how to give her good dick like Travis. Like, when you watch Travis Kelce play football and all them dances he does when he scores a touchdown, you already know he could hit it. You already know. And somebody else, this one guy I follow on Instagram, said that Travis Kelce has a big dick. He said this before Taylor's album dropped. He said that he knows people who've slept with Travis Kelce and he has a big dick. So anyways, moving right along. Like, I just don't care. Like, go ahead, let her celebrate her first big dick. It's not like any of the little boys she's dated have had a big dick. Here comes Travis Kelce. Taylor Swift is 6 feet tall. She needs a big dick. Okay? Let her enjoy the moment. But speaking of Travis Kelce's dick, Taylor comes for Travis's ex on the song Opalite. and says that his ex did it, just it was with him just to pose. And then I read the comments. There was only 7 comments on this story on TMZ. I read it before I recorded this. And somebody said, Kayla is the one who dumped Travis. So, like, they said if Kayla was in it for the publicity, then she wouldn't have dumped him. Here's what I gotta say. Taylor Swift is well aware that her fans have gone after Kayla. Taylor Swift has breast implants. Kayla Nicole does not have breast implants, to my knowledge. Kayla Nicole has a big ass. Taylor Swift has a flat ass. Kayla Nicole is a gorgeous shade of brown skin. Taylor Swift is pale, porcelain skin. Kayla Nicole is sexy. Taylor Swift is tall and lanky and unsexy. So, who do you think is threatened by who? Because how is it that the man that you have been with for 1 year, how are you speaking on the relationship that he had for half a decade? How are you speaking on that? And how are you speaking on that based upon what you were told and not what could have actually happened? Because obviously, Travis was in love with Kayla, because I think they were engaged. Or if they weren't engaged, they were together for 5 years. Taylor, you've been with him for 1 year at the time that you wrote this song. How dare she think that she could speak upon a relationship that she knows nothing about? Like, how dare she not consider that whatever she was told is whatever Travis wants her to believe? That's so, so pathetic and corny. What a disgusting thing for Taylor to do, because she is threatened by a naturally beautiful, naturally sexy woman, unlike Taylor, who had to buy her tits and ain't got an ass. Wishes she had an ass, though. That's why she's bending over on one of the Life of a Showgirl vinyls. So I really don't respect her coming for Travis's ex. It's just, Travis's ex has already said Swifties always came for her. Have always come for her. She's already complained and cried about it. Like, leave me alone. And here comes Taylor. Like, bitch, like, really? You know Travis is lusting after Kayla. That's why he was with her for 5 years. I just don't think that Travis... Hold on 1 second. Great, I saw a spider. Tried to kill it. I didn't kill it, so... Spider in my fucking bedroom. So, congratulations to me. Damn it. It got away from me. Like, what? Anyways. So I don't think Travis and Taylor have anything in common. I think Travis wanted to meet her. I don't think Travis wanted to meet Taylor. He just wanted to meet her. He didn't want to wife her. And I think she threw her pussy at him, threw it on him, because he is the only guy on the planet who had the nerve and the audacity to pursue the most famous, most successful woman in music right now in her age bracket, right? So because he was the only one who had the audacity to pursue her, because who wasn't intimidated by her, she locked him down. She took it very seriously, and he just went with it, kept going with it. But I don't see it. Yeah, they seem to like each other in the podcast interview because they haven't been together that long, and they've certainly spent time. They spent a lot of time together, don't get me wrong, but they've also spent time apart because of their careers. So they haven't spent that much time together, and they were acting like a couple that hasn't spent that much time together. But I just don't see it. I don't see it, honestly. And that's fine, because I do think that they definitely grew to love each other. And it kind of just, when I think about Taylor and Travis, I think about the fact that, like, it hasn't worked out for her, and she has wanted it to work out for her with others. And so she did everything. I'm sure she's probably been the absolute perfect girlfriend. She's done everything she could to make it work with Travis. And it did. So congrats to her, because I think it has to be hard to be so incredibly famous and have all these songs, have breakups and all these songs about how you want to get married and have kids and to just be, have it not work out and to have things just go up in flames very rapidly with some of these guys. So congratulations to her. She doesn't have to be mocked like other single women in Hollywood are perpetually mocked. But do I think that they make sense and that they have much in common? No. But do I think that they've been working their way around that? Yes. And it will be really interesting to see what their lives will become, because Taylor is a capitalist workaholic and Travis is about to retire. And I wouldn't be surprised if his team effed up the Super Bowl if they get there this year and he looks like an idiot like he did the last Super Bowl, which was bad. But the one thing I will give Taylor credit for is when you consider her psychotic, rabid fan base, she could put out every type of product imaginable, and she hasn't. She sticks to music and music-related merch. So I have to give her credit for that, because she really could have every type of skincare, hair care, nail polish line, fake nails like Nicki Minaj, home goods, cookware. She said she does sourdough. You know, people probably hit her up to put out sourdough, you know, pans and a cookbook. She could have a clothing line, perfume line, jewelry line. Like, she really could. And so I respect her for not being that disgusting, because let's be honest, look at how the Kardashians have every type of product imaginable. Imagine if they had Taylor Swift's fan base. Next, we got Charlie XCX, her song, the diss track, Actually Romantic. So if you go to Charlie XCX's Instagram, like, Taylor Swift fans really lit up Charlie XCX, saying how they're so disappointed and they don't like her anymore. And because in the song, Taylor says that, I heard you called me boring Barbie. And as Ira Madison, the former co-host of Keep It, said, he said, I know Charlie said a lot more than boring Barbie. But here's the thing. Taylor, again, knows how psychotic her fan base is. For her to weaponize her fans as if Charlie doesn't have the right to call her boring Barbie. Charlie expressed insecurity about her now husband being around Taylor Swift. Like, so Charlie felt inadequate to Taylor Swift. Why would Taylor then go after Charlie when Charlie already felt insecure about Taylor Swift being around her man? And you know what's so funny is there is no crossover when it comes to Charlie XCX's friends who talk shit about Taylor and don't like Taylor, and Charlie XCX's fans. Charlie XCX has multiple songs about doing cocaine. So Taylor saying that coke made you brave, no, I think Charlie would say that shit to her face. And Charlie said she's in the booth. Like, Charlie is wicked with the pen. Charlie's already coming out on top for me, because Taylor didn't have to play this like very petty, pathetic junior high school game and go after her in her song when, like, Charlie's out here thriving. Like, Charlie, I love how Charlie blew up. I'm a fan. Love her down. I just, Charlie XCX is such a confident and captivating performer. Like, she's just, there is no one like her. Bad bitch, bad body. Like, she's always not wearing any makeup. Like, she is gorgeous. I stan my queen. Anyway, her going after Charlie XCX too, it's catty, it's pathetic. Like, Taylor, just do you. You already have the world in your palm. Like, you don't got to be doing, like, having your fans go after people like this. It's so lame. Focus on all the good that you have in your life. So anyway, Taylor put out the worst album of her career, and I'm surprised by how terrible it is, as are millions of fans. Very surprised, very shocked. And it really tarnishes her legacy, because now our faith is shaken. We don't know what quality of album she's going to drop now, if she had thought this was good. Like, and she's sitting here shitting out albums, putting out 1 to 2 records per year. Like, you're going to come up with something really bad at some point. Take a fucking break. So anyway, I cannot believe how bad this album was. I mean, it's wow. It almost leaves me speechless. Whoa. And it also makes me question her artistry. Like, how is she thinking that this is okay? And it's like, are her songs only good when she has the right production behind it? We thought Jack Antonoff was the problem, and clearly he wasn't. She's worked with other people, and this is a flop. Anyway, so that's what I have to say about The Life of a Showgirl. Wow. I give it on a scale of 1 to 5, I give it 1 star, because I know she could do better than this. She has done better than this. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.